I don't know. I listen to him sometimes. I'm like, this, it sounds better than real life.
Absolutely does. That's what these audio plugins do.
Guys, I bought... Well, hi, Neil.
Hi.
I bought my first plugin today.
Plugins are things that make your audio sound much better. I just enjoy owning things. Maybe that's like a downside of like my personality, but like whenever I'm like, oh, I can have all these plugins, I need all of them. I maybe use like 1/3 of the plugins that I own.
All right, it's been a week. Thank you for joining us last week on episode 2. Now we're on episode 3 of season 1. This one is called The Pros and Cons of Touring.
I mean, if you couldn't tell from that, it's the ups and downs or the goods and the bads of touring.
Or the things I like and the things I don't.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. What have you been up to for the week?
I actually just got the neon sign that me and Mike C, the guy who does a lot of designing for A Day to Remember, it just came in and we installed it at our biscuit company, which is the restaurant my wife and I are opening. And so we've just been working, hustling, trying to get this place to where we can pass all of our inspections and open our doors. That's what I've been doing every single day, pretty much.
Restaurant owner, podcast personality, stage right guitarist,
Twitch professional, human.
Yeah, human.
Dog owner.
It was just things. You didn't have to do anything to become a human. You just are.
Talk to a tree about that and then get back to me.
Today, I actually have I have 39 plants in my apartment. It's a lot of them are on our balcony, but yesterday we were walking back from dinner, and I picked up 3 plumeria plants because somebody was throwing them away, and so now I'm propagating them.
All right, I have a question. If you could propagate a limb from like someone else on Earth, what limb would you choose?
Bob Ross's painting hand.
That's a pretty good... I would choose like Michael Jordan's legs.
You get both or just one?
I would probably just take his whole lower half because he's probably like just like better from the waist down.
That's not a limb. That's half a human.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I made up the game, so that's what I would choose.
I once listened to a whole podcast. Well, it was a Yale class on death. And one of the whole episodes was about how much of a human can you remove before they're no longer themselves and replace. And it equated it and paralleled it to a car. And it was really interesting.
That sounds insane, and I would love to hear that. You know, I've been thinking about this. This part of the podcast is exactly like being on tour, because you get on the bus after like a long day of work, and you have so many people that just had so many different experiences in like the same area, and then everyone just talks about the most weird, random things.
While eating food.
Yeah, while eating food.
Or drinking beer or whatever they do to relax.
This is exactly like that.
In their
like,
underwear.
We would ask, I would ask like weird questions. I'd be like, so if you could propagate one limb from somebody else, what would you choose? I feel like that's what happened.
Okay, Patreon. Thank you. We have Patreon. It's dsotbpodcast.com. You can find the Patreon link on there or patreon.com/the initials of this podcast. Neil, you wanna hit them? Patreon, the new... People are our new Patreons this week are
Craig, Gina,
Gene,
Jeremy, Brooke.
Craig,
one of the things that our friend of ours told us we need to get better at is interrupting each other. And so we're trying really hard to only interrupt each other from here on out.
We're only going to talk exactly at the same time. Luckily, we're on different audio channels. Anyway, today's episode, I was like trying to figure out where we should put it in the whole swing of things. And the thought process behind it for me was there's a lot of stuff I like about touring, a lot of stuff I wish was better. But I like to kind of show people the pros and cons right off the bat, because I think a lot of people will get into the mix and feel like they're alone or feel like, you know, these things are happening to me and I don't like them. Does everybody experience them? The pros are pretty like, we're just going to kind of teach you what we love about touring. But the cons are important too, because they kind of make you feel like, hey, this is normal.
It gives you a basis of reference. You know, it makes you appreciate those highs a little bit more. And it also, like you said, it makes you feel like you're not alone.
Yeah, because touring is not easy. At least I don't think it was easy. What about, I know you're in the band, so it's a different experience. But was it hard for you, especially when you started out? Or
I think it's hard. I think it's just hard in general. It's like a hard lifestyle. And I think that in itself is what makes it hard, is it's not like any other job where when you're done, you go home. Like touring is 24/7 for as long as you're out on the road. It's a lot of sacrifice outside of just being on the road. It's things that you're not prepared for in life. And then you're just thrown into it and fully immersed in it for however long you're on tour.
And it's crazy because I don't know if you've ever experienced this, Neil, but I'll meet somebody and I'll be like, yeah, I tour. They're like, oh, that's so awesome. I bet you get to travel all these places. I'm like, yes, it is awesome. But I always want to say, but then I remember that there's really, and you guys will experience this too, there's really no foolproof way to explain to somebody who hasn't toured what it's like.
That is,
you really have
true.
To do it.
It always feels like you're self-deprecating, kind of. You're like, no, it is awesome. Or you're like, it sucks. I mean, let's be real. You know, I mean, but then you like start thinking about it and you're like, wow, I'm like really telling this person how much it sucks to be on tour and I do it all the time. And then you're like, oh no, wait, it doesn't suck at all. It's actually pretty awesome. And you have to bring this person on this emotional journey as you figure out how to talk about what you do in the moment. And they're over it and they're like, I was just trying to make small talk and don't really care about being your psychiatrist. So,
and you'll notice when we talk about these pros and cons, like the highs are really high and plentiful. Like there's a lot of things, but man, the lows are hard.
They are hard. I think they're harder than any other job just because of the fact that maybe sometimes you don't know other people that you're on tour with. Sometimes you get lucky enough to be on tour with all of your friends, all of your best friends. And then other times, like, let's say you take a job with a new camp and you don't know anyone out there. And like, it's really hard and you don't really have people to turn to. It's really good for bonding. You can make a lot of amazing friends through touring because you are dealing with a lot of really hard things together. So, I mean, it is. It can be really hard and the lows can be really, really hard.
Have you ever gone home from a tour, like, because of a personal thing? Or like because it was too hard or anything?
I have not.
It's a little different. Obviously, when you're in the band, it's pretty hard to be like, I'm out. Yeah. Have you had crew leave for personal reasons?
Yeah, we have. We've had crew leave for personal reasons. I think we've had like every job has pretty much left at some point for something, whether it's prior commitments or family emergencies or
their own emergency.
Yeah, their own emergencies. So it is hard. And it's a big commitment. I think that's the thing, that they get into it and they're like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And it's like, you don't really know what you're signing up for until you get out there and you start doing it. And even
probably
then,
for the best,
there's new shit that's going to come up every single day that you can't plan on. You just kind of got to go. That's why it takes a certain type of personality. And then on top of a certain personality, it takes a certain work ethic and a certain type of being malleable in certain situations to be really successful on tour.
If you could describe the personality or the, like, I know we talked about in the last one a little bit, but if you could describe somebody, like, what's the mentality you have to have?
I think you got to be selfless. You got to really put others first while still taking care of yourself. You need to be...
That's a really good way to say it. I like that.
It's because it's important. I mean, you know, you have these off days and you got to, like, there's always going to be someone that wants to go do something. So you can literally fill your entire time with, hey, let's go do this, let's do that. And maybe it's what you want to do.
Coffee,
maybe
restaurant, or
whatever it is, you know, like, but some days you just need that self-care. You need those moments where you can regroup, recharge. That's really it. I mean, I think you got to be able to be a team player, but also be able to think about yourself and be self-aware.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. Well, that makes sense to me. Yeah, I mean, I'm not in the band, obviously. I'm the photographer. And for me, it just involves, I usually, my way of coping with what you're saying is I always wake up early. Because I know I can be up before the band, take care of my own life, and then do my job. So it's like, it's kind of like squeezing your own life in between somebody else's life. Because I got to live your life. It's a balancing act.
The funny thing is it's really like nobody's life. It's its own life. Like it's an organism.
Nobody gets a
in
life.
Itself. You know, because like I don't get to do what I want, and I'm in the band, and like you know what I mean. It's like,
yeah,
no one really gets to do what they want. It's just kind of, which can be rough for all.
Yeah, it's like everybody gets to do 50% of what they want to do.
Yeah.
And 50% of what they don't want to do.
Yeah.
Like deciding to go out to eat when you're on tour. Oh, where to go out to eat.
It's rough. Here's the thing. I talk about this stuff like I know and like I have it all figured out and you do too. And it's at the same time, it's like we've obviously been on tour and it's been rough. It's been hard, but it hasn't been something that cannot be overcome. It cannot be conquered. It cannot be something that you can't deal with. I think that anyone that wants to be there can make it happen and be really successful in this climate and in this environment. You just have to really want it. And the moment that you don't really want it anymore, it gets even harder. So
after you do get it and after you do tour, everything else in life becomes so much easier.
Yes.
Like, I remember doing other jobs after doing like Warped Tour for 5 years, and I'll be like, wait, you want me to do this?
Wait, that's the whole job?
That's the whole thing? I'm like, I don't have to work for 20 hours today?
I don't have to sweat my entire body weight worth of water out of all of my pores and then drink canned water that tastes like metal?
Let's start off with the pros, the good stuff. So we're going to do pros and cons. We'll do pros first, cons second. Why don't you start it off?
I think that this is the reason why I want to be on tour, is to get to travel, to get to go to these places and be fulfilled by getting to create a show in them, being able to make money and getting to stay in places and eat all kinds of great food while doing it.
And for those who haven't toured or don't know what the daily schedule is like at all, when you tour to a place, you don't get to just hang out all day there. Even though we talk about doing all these things, if there's a show day, chances are you might be able to get out for a coffee at some point.
Maybe.
But maybe. But other than that, you are working all day. So we kind of say been everywhere, seen nothing sometimes, because it's like you go to a lot of places, but you don't always have time to experience that city. You really get to look forward to those off days. And I don't know if you want to explain how off days work or days off.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of just like it sounds. You get to a hotel a lot of times. It'll be like noon or something. You'll probably drive the night before after a show, arrive at the hotel, check in, put your stuff down, and then you have the rest of that day. Sometimes you'll be able to stay over the night sometimes. And other times it's like you have it's called a travel day, where you basically get into the hotel, you're hanging out there until 2 a.m., get back on the bus or in the van, and you drive the rest of the way to wherever your next show is.
And travel days happen it depends on the artist, but they could be, some artists, it's like one day on, which means one show day, and then 2 days off, which means 2 days off, because maybe their stage takes forever to set up. Or some artists, it'll be like 5 days on, one day off, or it'll be two on. And it just depends on what type of music, what type of artist, what type of production. Are you traveling in Europe? Like, there's artists in Europe that have, I feel like they call it like a hub. And for example, like Linkin Park, they'll get on a jet, fly to a show, play the show, get on a jet, fly back to their hub. Maybe it's in Berlin or something. Mm-hmm. The next day, they'll do the same thing. So it really just depends on the size of your...
And some artists, it's dictated by like for us, when we were first starting, we would just play as many possible shows as we possibly could. We tried not to have any days off, because the days off, you don't get to make money. You still have to pay everyone that's on tour working for you. Mm-hmm. And so we would just try to cram it all in. And then it got to a point where our singer, Jeremy, he was kind of blowing his voice out. Like, it got to a point where he couldn't, we were doing these long shows. Like, the show ended up being like an hour, hour and a half. He couldn't do like 5 shows in a row. And then on top of that, we started realizing that, hey, this is like kind of burning our crew out. It's kind of unfair to them. Like,
morale is low.
Yeah. And you have to have a balance of all of those things. You got to have like days on, days off. You have to have the balance of those things. You have to have the balance of like giving people time to have a life and then still making money and being on tour. So yeah, it's about balance.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different factors. And you know, one of my favorite things to do, Neil, and I know you've done this before because we did it together in Tokyo, is we'll leave early or go home late for a tour. So we build traveling into our touring. So like, you have to get a flight out to somewhere, so we'll just go there before it starts and hang out for it.
It's like, well,
that was fun.
If you have to pay to fly me there anyways, might as well just do it like on a Friday, and then the tours start like on Tuesday, and then you have like a little mini vacation.
Just build it into work. And that way, you know, you do have those forced days off or forced time off in areas to travel. Do you remember, I don't know, do you have any favorite travel stories or anything where you're like, maybe when you're starting off, you're like, wow, I get to see the whole US, or wow, I've been to Europe. I don't know, like wow moments where you're like looking out the plane window or something like that.
I actually, Josh just sent me a picture of, it was like him and I, and like I have my arm around him, and we're in New York City, and it was the first time we ever had gotten the chance to go to New York City. So we took the train in from Long Island, and whenever you take the train in, you go underneath the city. You don't really see the city as you're going into it when you go into it from that area of where we were mm-hmm. coming from. And so we entered into Grand Central Station. We come up Grand Central Station, the stairs, and you're just in the middle of New York City. We had never been there before. And I remember just looking at him, like looking at the other guys and just being like, oh my God, like this is
real life?
It. Like, holy shit. We've been to like cities before, but We've never been to something like that. It just literally blew our minds. And I remember just being like walking around that day, feeling completely alone while we were surrounded by like thousands and thousands of people just in our own world. And I just,
yeah,
seeing that picture just reminded me of that day. And that was like probably the first like real wow moment. Like, oh man, we're doing this.
Another thing to mention here that people often ask me, and I'm surprised it's a question, but I love when people ask because it shows me, it helps me learn what people don't know. And they're like, so do you have to pay for anything? And I'm like, no, you don't have to pay for your travel. You don't have to pay for your hotel. You don't have to pay for your food. All that stuff is taken care of by the artist. You are an employee. Just think of it like any job you do. You don't have to pay to do your job usually.
Like, it's except just for covered Neil,
he pays for everybody.
Yeah. I mean,
because he's in the band.
It is cool. I mean, you think about traveling for anything, and a lot of times, whatever that specific thing that you're traveling for, you'll have a budget for that. So as the artist, you kind of set up a budget for your crew, for your photographer, for your different logistical needs as far as moving equipment, moving people. Everything kind of works within that budget. So you make those decisions with that in mind, and yeah, everything's kind of taken care of.
Yeah, and I remember actually, there was one exception when I was like writing this down, I was thinking about it. The first time I got to go to Europe with you guys was the first time I'd ever been to Europe on my own. And I paid for my own ticket just because your band was just in a position and the industry was in a position where photographers weren't even a justified crew member. You know what I mean? Where it's like, they're like, wait, you want to, what?
It was the beginning of like social media utilization by artists in that way. Like,
yeah,
you were,
it hadn't even started.
You were the pioneer of that. Like, I don't even know if you meant to be, but you were. Like,
I blame Alex.
Alex,
I used to take, yeah, I used to take photos of you guys every day. And what I would do is I would write blogs because that's what I knew how to do. So I'd save the photos on my hard drive. I'd get home, I'd write like this 20-page blog with all the photographs. But Alex used to crawl into my bunk at night in Europe, and you have these double-decker buses in Europe, and I'd be on the top. And Alex and I were always kind of together, and he'd crawl into my bunk, which is like crawling into somebody's coffin. He'd be like, yo, let me get some of those photos from today.
Oh my God.
And I was like, what?
He loved like, what? That.
Dude, he loved it. We had some traveling with Alex. Like, we had some good adventures. You know, it's fun. You get to hang out with your best friends in all these places you've never been together. It's so much fun.
It is. That is literally, I can't think of a better pro than that. Like, it is the reason why I still do it. It's the reason why I will continue to do it for as long as I can. Is you get to see the world with your friends. You get to do all these things that you could never plan. You arrive in, let's say we're going to Europe, you arrive in Rome, you're there a day early. That day just happens to be like, I don't know, some crazy like biking event where there's all these people in this town. And so
you just experience the culture.
You go out that night and there's just thousands and thousands of people out that you could have never planned on being there at the same time. And you're just immersed.
And this stuff happens.
Yeah.
Do you remember that night? We had that night in France.
Yeah, Nice.
In Nice, France before Hellfest. And we went out and there was some festival going on and we had no idea. And people were like dumping water out their windows and partying in the streets. Do you remember that?
I remember some of that night. I remember that I cried in a graveyard and that I broke a glass table in the lobby of a hotel.
Oh yeah. Our hotel that night was, we were literally in a repurposed church. So all the rooms were kind of connected to this main cathedral like room. And Neil passed out at like 2 a.m. after we got our food. It was like all of our food was set up on the table and you like stood up.
It was when we were leaving to go to bed.
Yeah, you like stood up, went pale and just fell over into the glass. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. I will say this. Do not drink a drink called the Spirit World after you've already had like 13 other drinks. Because it legitimately will send you into another place.
That is, you had an out of body experience, but I switched the order of our stuff because we were kind of talking about like more fun together. That really is like when I go home after tour, I kind of don't look forward to the feeling of not being able to go out to eat with my friends, go out to coffee with my friends, go do everything's easier together.
It is. It really is. It's like you feel more comfortable too, because you're with all of these people all of the time. You can go out and do things you wouldn't normally do because you got your whole group, your whole gang.
Yeah, sometimes that can go tip the scale too far in the wrong direction. Maybe you get in a little bit of trouble, you get a little rambunctious in a country where you don't even speak the language. But you kind of get to goof off and be, you're just going to have fun all over the, you know, gallivant all over the planet.
I wouldn't change it.
No,
I wouldn't change it any of it. So,
and when it started, like, we're talking about, you know, all over the world because that's kind of where we're at in our touring life. But when it started, like, it was the same for you, Neil. We were in vans and we were traveling around just the U.S. And that was still fun, you know, going to these small cities in the middle of nowhere, going to those Applebee's out in the middle of nowhere and getting meals, or, you know, just off-day shenanigans were fun. Yeah, even stuff as easy as going to bed on tour is actually very fun to me, because you get to say goodnight to your friends. If there's no situation when you're home that you have sleepovers in your adult life, really, other than when you're traveling. And on tour, every night's a sleepover.
It really is. I never really thought about it like that. But, like, I even, like, sometimes I don't like being in hotel rooms because you don't get to, like, right before you go to bed, like, maybe I'm not ready to, like, fall asleep yet. You can, like, stick your head out of your curtain. Or if you're in a van, like, you can just, like, yell to someone in the bunk in front of you or something like that. And you're just like, yo, I'm bored. What are you doing?
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, you want
to
hang out?
I used to sleep underneath a van bench when I was in van tours. That was my spot because I was so small. And I always used one of my shoes for a pillow. And I always wore a hoodie because it would be double as my blanket. How long did you guys do van tours for before you went to a bus?
I want to say we started doing touring in general in 2005, maybe even a little earlier than that. But then our first bus tour was in 2008. We went to Europe.
Wow, you went fast.
We went to Europe with this band called Maylene and the Sons of Disaster. And we shared a bus with them. But then when we came back, I think we did another van tour or something. And then we went on Warped Tour and we were supposed to be in an RV. It was a big scam. And we ended up having to rent a bus at the last possible moment. And so we were just on a bus from then on.
You got scammed by an RV company?
Yes.
That sucks.
We still had so much fun. It didn't matter to us.
That's the thing, is like, we're talking about, not only is everything more fun together, but everything, like, kind of how you touched on, everything is more able to be conquered. Like, you can get through pretty much anything because, you know, everybody's taking care of themselves, but everybody's also taking care of each other. Yep. Like, all your friends are there to help you, or all the people you're traveling with are there to help you. Of course, it's different depending on your setup. You know, it really is, you know, bigger than the sum of their parts. What's the saying? Greater than the sum of your parts?
Greater.
I don't know.
With that being said, we talked earlier about how you don't really get to see a lot while you're on tour because you're working. Really, you kind of get to see a lot more than you would usually because you have all of your friends with you. And a lot of times your friends will push you to go see things you wouldn't normally think would be fun or cool. You also feel much more comfortable with a large group of friends going out and doing something that would normally be overwhelming
or not safe.
And then you feel much more safe or much less anxiety about being out because you have your friends there with you and you can share those times with them. And I know that I've gotten to do a ton of things out on the road and then tried to go back and do them when I like went on vacation, like maybe with my significant other.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like, you go and do it and you're like, oh shit, this is actually kind of sketchy and weird. And like, why would I do this?
Why did I do this on tour?
This feels so different before. I'm like, now
I swear it was fun last time.
And she's like, do you want to go back to the hotel room and order room service? I'm like, yeah, of course.
Okay, so we've kind of talked about some fun stuff, but on a more serious level / career level, I think one of the best parts is you get daily improvement of whatever you're working on. Let's use guitar playing or guitar teching, for example. Like, usually if you want to become a better guitar tech, you have to practice at home and you have all these theoretical situations. While you're on tour, you literally practice every single day. And for music photography, it's the same thing. I can't practice that unless I'm at a show. Like, it's impossible. So going on tour is the most dense educational experience I can partake in.
And that's with everything. I mean, that's like you said, being a guitar player, you get that. It's like you can practice at home, but you're never going to feel what it's like having that adrenaline rush and being forced to do what you do. Like, you never get that rush of adrenaline, those perfect lights, all the people in one room. And you have to be like, all right, now it's time to do your job, but not only do it better than you've ever done it before, but do it right now, right whenever we say it.
In front of people, there's scenarios, there's feelings, there's situations you just can't conjure up artificially, right? It has to be the real thing. And you have to get better at those things by doing them. And tour allows you to do them And you know what I always think of? You ever seen that documentary, like Euro Dreams of Sushi? Do you know? Yeah. Have you seen that?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it reminds me of, is this guy just did the same thing every day, but it's really never the same thing every day. From the outside looking in, it's like, okay, you're going on stage and playing guitar, or okay, you're taking a photo of a band, or you're, you know, doing sound for them. Yeah, that's like the overlying category. But when you really look at it, you know, today Neil is working on song number two. I don't know how to describe parts of a song, but the bridge, he's going to play it this much better. And every day you're tweaking little things. And those are just the conscious things. The subconscious improvements are insane, like you're saying, dealing with big crowds.
Yeah. As a big team too, you learn to work better with each other every day. You learn a little bit more about the person that works right next to you. You understand like the things that they like and don't like about what you do. You can improve those things to be a better team player. You are not presented with these opportunities any other place than actually being out on the road or being in a place where you're next to the person that you are going to be working with and doing the thing that you have to do together. You can't improve on these different topics unless that is the case.
We've said it before and we'll say it again. We can only teach you so much. Like, you really just need to get out there and start learning, whether it's talking with somebody in your area who does it and you want to learn underneath them, or just going out on the road for free with somebody for starters. Like, we're going to try to find ways to help get you out on the road, and hopefully Don't Shit on the Bus can be a piece or an avenue to be part of your story. But it is such a key part in learning, because you learn, or such a key part in improving, because you learn so much in just a small amount of time.
I know we were talking about this earlier, but I don't get to play guitar like that in front of people with the guys in the band. So like, everyone has lives together, you know, like we're all playing and doing this. And when we go on tour, that is what we all are doing at that time. So like, we can practice beforehand. We can be like, set up a week to go in and get back on the horse, play again, get better enough to go out and do it. But then when you go out on tour, you actually start changing up the songs. You add things. And when you add things, you do it together. Like, me and Alex will have like little moments where I know he's going to do a certain fill, and I will accent that fill with the guitar, but he won't do it unless he's like a week into tour and he's starting to get comfortable. And it's really weird. Like, I only know that because like, we've toured so much, we played together for so long. Like, I know that in the beginning of tour, we're not going to do that little accented fill in the beginning, because he's still trying to like get his bearing back and like get all of his chops and play together. But it's like, it's the same thing. Like, even on the crew side, like, you're going to get in the rhythm of things and you're going to like learn these things about these different people you work with, where like, oh, every day at 5 o'clock, you know, guitar tech's going to go and change all of his strings. So like, I can't ask him for help at 5 o'clock, cause you know, he's busy at that time or whatever. Or Johnny takes bunk time. He takes his BT night daily nap at like 6 o'clock right before doors.
Yeah, it's like a very complicated and involved work relationship to an extent. Like, you get to know these people better than sometimes you know yourself, and you know when they sleep, when they wake, when they go have their cigarette, when they drink their water, when they like to do these things. And it becomes such a well-oiled machine. Really, you get so good at your job that doing your job becomes the easy part. And the hard part becomes how you do your job, you know, when you do your job. I don't know how to explain it, but like he's saying, it becomes, you know, Johnny not only texts my guitar very well, but he knows when I want to sound check. He knows when I want my new guitar. Like, all these things you learn about those people and you form a relationship. And that's when the real, you know, Not Shitting on the Bus kind of vibe comes into play, or reading the room, or, you know, all these rules that we talk about come into play.
Well, like you said, like, Johnny, I can look at Johnny or Max, which is both of my guitar tech. So Johnny is Kevin's guitar tech. Max is my guitar tech. I can look at either of them and talk to them without talking to them.
With your face.
I literally can. I can walk over and be like, they can, like, they're pretty aware
of what's
happening. Yeah, they're pretty aware of what's happening in the show. I can walk over and be like, look down at my guitar and like, look at him, and they're like, oh shit, okay, he needs another pick. Oh, his string broke. They'll like immediately know. They
see his drink's empty.
Yeah, they just see it. They know, and they're aware. And you can kind of talk and communicate with these people because you have this relationship with them, and you know each other's body language. I can look over at them, and if something's wrong, I can see, you know, something's not right. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, what is it? And I like realize what's going on. I'm like, oh, okay, that's not that big of a deal. I'll just keep playing and not care.
This kind of segues into the last like big pro that we thought was, and that I think that touring will make you the best roommate ever. And it's because of the things you have to be aware of when you're traveling and living with 10, 20, 30, 50 people at a time in small spaces. And I mean, you have to be aware of the sounds you make, the smells you create, and how you kind of, I don't know, take up other people's personal space.
Imperative that you don't smell. It's imperative that you don't, you aren't an asshole and you don't eat like some fucking weird shit on the bus. You can't like bring a, can't bring a George Foreman on the bus and think you're going to be like cooking like paninis and shit. Like while people are trying to sleep and just exist. Like some people don't want to smell a panini, even though, I mean, it sounds pretty heavenly to me. Maybe someone's a vegetarian and they don't want to have that smell of meat or whatever around them and all that. I mean, you just kind of be aware. You got to be self-aware as well as aware of your surroundings.
And this kind of goes back to when we're talking about, you kind of get to do 50% of what you want to do, right? And then it's really about the team. It took me a long time to learn this stuff because I just come from a very unaware mindset, whether it be the sounds I create when I wake up. And it took sometimes people being overly blunt with me and then me not responding in a negative way. Like you have to be able to receive this criticism because that's how people communicate. You know, some people will tell you or they'll make a joke about it and you need to kind of learn from those things. But one time I remember we landed in Europe and I was like, oh, Europe, you know, I'm going to get some food before we get on the bus. We're on tour. So I went to the, I forget what it's called, but they have like fresh food in UK. And I got some smoked salmon and I sat down on the bus and everybody gave me a hard time on it. And I was like, I really messed up.
It's like, are you really going to open that salmon right here in this closed space? And you're like, yeah, why not? It smells like shit, Adam. What do you mean you're going to eat that right now? No, we can't open up the window and, oh.
And no. It was because I did the I instead of the we, and it really is about we on tour. I don't know if you have any examples that, of your learning process or how you guys kind of learn to coexist, but.
I mean, I don't know if I have any like specific examples, but I do like, me as just a human being in general, I'm like kind of like, I think I'm like somewhat self-aware, but I think like that's been a thing that I've kind of gained over time.
It took me living with roommates in real life to understand how good of roommates the people I tour with are. Because people like leave their stuff out. I'm like, you did something here and you left your laptop on the couch. Like what are you doing?
It's hard to get better. Like you said, I mean, it kind of goes, all of this goes hand in hand. It's hard to get better unless you're practicing it daily, unless you're practicing it with people that are trying to get better themselves. You know, like it's just hard.
And this stuff is expected of you. When you go on tour, you need to have your personal shit together. Like, you're not making a mess in other people's areas. Everywhere is a workspace. You're cleaning up after yourself. Like, that is a big deal because there's a lot of people working in a lot of different areas and your stuff cannot get in the way.
Yep, that's true.
I don't know. Are there any other pros that you can think of about touring? I know there's a ton, but is there anything that comes to mind that you're like, wow, I really love this about touring that we didn't cover?
I think, let me think about it. I think that, like, I would just kind of double down on saying, like, you never know where you're going to get to be, who you're going to get to run into, the network that you're going to get to create based on people coming out to the show. You never can plan on growing yourself, and you're going to be always presented with random opportunities that you just could never have dreamed up in your head. And you got to be able to accept those opportunities and utilize those opportunities.
Yeah, you just jogged a big one, actually, that I think we shouldn't gloss over as music lovers. You get to see so many concerts and so many places and so many artists you would never see in situations. Like, it's one thing to see, like, Rammstein in L.A. It's another thing to see Rammstein in Germany.
Oh, my God. It's Rammstein in Germany?
You know what I mean, though? There's, like, these situations that come up that are so unique that you're like, wow. Or remember, like, just the times where we get to sit side stage watching a crazy band, or I don't remember, what was that guitarist that came into our dressing room and at that German festival that one time?
I can't think of his last name. But I'm gonna get shit on it. His name is Steve.
Steve.
I can't think of his last name. Steve, but he was the guitar player of Deep Purple. He was from, he actually lives in Ocala, and he knew of a day to remember.
Deep Purple. Steve Morse.
Steve Morse, yes. He's a fucking legend when it comes to guitar playing and music in general. But he came in our room and we're like, holy shit, that's Steve Morse from Deep Purple. What's he doing?
What's up?
And he like walks up to our room. We're like, you're coming in our room? what did we do? Did we fuck? We were being too loud and we annoyed you.
What did
you?
We do
like,
wrong?
Yeah. What did we do?
Are we
do?
In trouble?
And he's like, no, I'm just a really big fan of the band. I know you guys are from Ocala. I live in Ocala. My son's a really big fan of you guys. Just wanted to come over and say, hey, I like what you're doing. And if you want to come watch us on stage, our whole stage is closed down. But because you guys are so cool and from Ocala and all this stuff, I'd love to have you out and come up and watch the show.
We're like,
wait, okay. What? Like, we get to watch Deep Purple on stage?
And that's what I mean. The highs are so high. It's almost addicting, right? It's
it
like
is.
Those things happen. Like, I don't know if my memory is bad or I just have too many good memories to remember them all. But like things like that happen a lot. And it's so cool. It's so fun.
Is it weird that I, for some reason, remember almost every time we did Insanity on tour?
Oh, yeah.
That's like the one thing that I like
all
remember.
34 of them.
That's another pro about being on tour is if you can get a large group of people to do and start healthy habits.
Activities.
You can do it together. And you can have people to hold you accountable to... It kind of goes back and talks about... That is kind of goes hand in hand with what we talked about earlier, but... You can have a large group of people that work together, that can hold you accountable, that
achieve a goal.
Yeah, that can achieve a goal. It's pretty awesome.
We used to do it in our underwear, in hotel rooms, in venues. I remember the band of Monsters and Men was so mad at us at Rock Retcher in Belgium because we had this dressing room right above theirs and we were doing the first day of Insanity, month two, and it was so loud. And I remember just leaving and all of them like were outside playing ping pong glaring at us because there was no way they could hang out in their dressing room.
Sorry guys, we were just practicing
we're just being
our
healthy.
Tap dancing in the dressing room above you.
It's so loud.
There was like 15 people jumping up and down, smacking their legs and like fucking doing jumping jacks and shit.
Whoops. Sorry. We were selfish that day.
Yeah, that is being selfish.
All right, so I think we've covered most of the pros. Obviously, there's some we've missed, and it's going to be different for everybody, but we just want to give you kind of basic, these are the things we like about tour. Next up, the cons, and I think that people don't talk about them enough, and it's not because they don't exist. It's just because people like to focus on the positive things, and I think it's good to talk about the cons, though, so that people are aware of them and know they exist, and like we said earlier, don't feel alone when they experience them.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You want to start us off here?
Travel exists as a pro and a con. Because as awesome as traveling is, I think that like once you get out and start traveling and doing some of these things, you'll understand that the reason that traveling is so cool is because you get to see so many things. But traveling can also be super exhausting, insanely hard on your body. Like you have to exist around all these people that aren't your friends, you don't know, like you're in an airport, you're in a bus station, you're existing in travel stops, whatever, but it's just hard. And it's awesome. Like you get to do cool shit in random places, but at the same time, it's exhausting. You have to carry all of your stuff all of the time. That's another thing. I try to bring a bunch of stuff on tour. I'm just that kind of guy. I don't know why.
I got my PlayStation.
I had like a camera bag. I had like another bag full of like attachments and stuff. I have like two suitcases. And like every time we get off the bus, like you're getting off the bus in like New York City. Oh,
it's raining.
Shit. I have to fucking bring all this stuff. Oh, there's this hotel is like some little boutique hotel and all they have is stairs. Oh, cool. Yeah. I'll just lug 150 pounds worth of crap up into the room. And you know, it's like, it's just exhausting and it's really hard, not only on your body, but on your mental. And sometimes when you're on tour, like the traveling, like if you're leisurely traveling for like vacation or something, you can kind of take your time a lot of times.
Yeah.
Whereas on tour, it's like, there is a schedule. You have to be there at this time. And if you're tired, well, you can rest when you get there, but you have to get there. That's just, it is what it is.
Yeah. You don't really have a choice. And I think the thing about travel is, we all love the destinations. It's the in-between that can be so excruciatingly exhausting. And another thing is like how you travel. Like you're saying, if you can pack light, do it.
Yes.
It's hard for photographers, but like I learned, like I would rather wear dirty clothes than too many clean clothes with me, to be honest. If you can buy something in another country, maybe don't pack it.
Well, sometimes that's acceptable for you because you don't really smell bad. You can wear dirty clothes. Like, I'm a smelly, stinky guy.
And like, you have to bring heavy. That's what you get, dude.
It's kind of true. It's like, I can't like not have a lot of clothes. And I know that this is like kind of like specific to me and what I do in the band. But like, if you're an artist in the band, you want to look good, right? You want to wear
that's
stuff
part of your job
that makes you feel good and look good. And then on top of that, like I got to wear like new underwear like every day. I can't have like just one pair of underwear.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
I got to have a whole accessory bag filled with just clean underwear.
When I started touring, I wore the same clothes for about a month. I just wore,
I was so envious of you.
It was dirty. I was in a van. I wore a hoodie with no t-shirt on. It was like my thing and like a very stupid thing. And then I had a pair of pants and a pair of shoes and just didn't wear socks.
That was the Mark Diesel Halloween costume if you want to become Mark Diesel.
But yeah, that is, I think traveling is one of the hardest parts of tour, learning how to travel, especially if you're working with a DJ or somebody who does a lot of flying. Don't pack a checked bag. Only bring carry-on. The last thing you want to ever do as a crew member is hold up the artist. You cannot be the person who slows everybody down. So you need to be very aware of what you're bringing with you, how you're traveling, and how you look while you travel too is important. Like, you don't want to look like your shit's falling everywhere. It's just not going to work out.
You have to kind of like play to the situation. Like, if you're traveling with a DJ and their whole aesthetic is like, yo, I'm the best, biggest in the world. Like, they can't be rolling around with some guy that's literally wearing like farm bags, unless that's in style, and then maybe you can wear that. But yeah, you gotta like read the room, like you were saying earlier, and you can't just be this out of place thing. And because where you could be the best in the world at what you do, you still have to exist on every other time where you're not doing what you do.
So yeah, and I think the other things that can set you up for success here, other than packing light, is if you can be healthy mentally, physically, those things will go. Everything you can do while you're home or on tour to stay healthy will really, really help you when you travel. It'll really make everything easier. It's hard being out of shape and touring. It's very hard.
It is. And being that positive person. You know, I know one thing for me, when I show up in the morning and I walk out into the venue or wherever we are that day, I can always go see Johnny, who's our guitar tech. I can always go see Max. They are always going to have a smile on their face. They're always asking me if I'm excited or stoked or whatever. And yeah, and I can talk to them and they are like a light for me that I can go, if I'm having a bad day, I can go hang out with them for a second. My day is instantly better. Like, try and strive to be that person for other people on tour. Like, be positive, look at situations and try to find the positive things and be those things. Because a lot of times if you are that negative person, that can be a huge con, like legitimately.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
It can be a huge bummer for a lot of people because like negativity spreads.
Yeah. Don't be a dick on tour. You will be one of the cons of touring.
Yes. True.
Basically, TLDR. Something else that goes along with travel is you're never home. So wherever you live for an extended period of time, and that can really affect, I don't know, I think it affects a lot of parts of your life.
It is the hardest part of being on tour is not being able to be home for extended periods of time. It's an immense amount of sacrifice, but we do it because we love it. And so it's a huge con of being on the road.
If I could sum it up, I would say you have a lack of your own life and maintaining things that require daily attention. So family, relationships, routines, health, all those things kind of fall behind when you're on tour because the only way you can keep in touch with those people is virtually. You know, you can't have any FaceTime with them unless... Well, we use FaceTime, but you know what I mean. Can't have any in real life FaceTime.
Well, it keeps your circle very small because you don't physically have the time to keep up a relationship with an extended amount of people. It's like you can have your significant other and you can keep up with them just fine. You can have your talk to your parents or whatever, but like you're not going to like have conversations. Like if you're at home and you're used to like talking to your brother and your sister and your mom and your dad and everyone kind of knowing what's going on and being able to keep everyone up to date on what's going on, that you don't have time to do that. You know, you got to pick the
important... A lot of work on tour.
Yeah, you got to pick the important people to stay in contact with and then kind of allow those people to kind of tell other people what's going on with you.
Yeah.
Really. I mean,
Social networking helped a lot with it too.
Yeah, I was gonna say Facebook kind of helped allow people to know what was going on. And there was like a long time where I didn't use Facebook, and my family literally probably thought I was dead somewhere.
Dead.
Yeah. It just, they're like, you know, oh, you know, what have you been up to? I'm like, I've literally been on tour in Asia, Europe, Australia. Back in the day, you couldn't use data. You had to rely on getting on Wi-Fi. And if we didn't have a computer, like, I just didn't update people. And we didn't have a lot of times we didn't have a photographer in the beginning. Like, in the first couple times we went to these places, we didn't bring anyone. And so nothing is documented. So it was just like we just were hanging out, not doing much. When we were playing some of the biggest shows we've ever played, getting some of the biggest responses we've ever done, and no one really knows. And people are just like, oh yeah, you're still playing in that band? And I'm like, yeah, it happened.
I think another thing that kind of goes hand in hand with that is you fall be, it really depends when you're touring. Like, it's one thing to be 40 and have a family and start touring. It's another thing to be 18 and not even know how to make dinner and start touring. But for me, I started when I was pretty young. And because of that, any skill that I would develop outside of my career or outside of what I was working on daily on tour just didn't happen. So I toured from about 18 to 28, 17 to 27, pretty consistently. And after I was done, I I didn't know how to really go grocery shopping. I didn't know how to like make dinner. Like, I fell behind on a lot of life skills. That's another thing that just goes hand in hand with it, is you just don't really have extra time to learn things. And you're home for, you know, 3 days at a time or a week or whatever.
And the sacrifice is something that you can't even understand until you're done with it. Or until, like, for instance, I didn't realize the skills that I gave up until COVID happened. And I'm like, I need to do something. I need to make a living somehow. I need to do anything with my time. Like, I'm so used to being stimulated constantly. That's another thing about touring that is kind of a pro and a con, is there's always something to do and there's constant stimulation. But like, when you get off tour, there's always like a week after you get home where you're like kind of in shell shock and you're kind of like, whoa.
Yeah. That's a really hard one to explain. It's a really hard one to describe, but if, with the lack of a better word, I would describe being on tour as a high and then being not on tour as just really, it's like almost like coming off of a drug.
Cause there's so much stimulation and it's always something happening, always something new in a new place. When you get used to living in that environment and existing and thriving in that environment, when you get home, everything is not like that. And there's not constant stimulation. And there is things that you got to start taking care of for yourself. Like you're saying, like grocery shopping or cooking. Whereas on tour, it's like, okay, what's for catering or who got the writer today? That doesn't happen. And you're like, holy shit, I got to figure out how to be a human being again.
When you're home, it feels like you're doing something wrong, but you're not. It's just that if at home is 100%, on tour is 150%. And that doesn't mean, then the 100% isn't that something is, there's nothing wrong with that. You're a full person doing happy things. It's just that you're not constantly on that high. I would say for every pro we have, there is, you know, a con counterpart to it. And I think this goes right along with being home, is alone is just not fun. And that's kind of the con of touring. You're with a group of people, and then when you get home, you kind of have this like come down, like we're talking about. And it's really hard to explain to somebody who hasn't toured, but just know it's there, it exists, and it will hit you. And don't hesitate to hit up people for help. Do you know any parallels to it?
I don't think that there is many parallels. I mean, I think that like when you go on vacation, you know, like when I was younger, when I would go on vacation, I would always have to have a day after I got home from vacation to where I didn't go back to school or I didn't go do a job after that, because I needed to like regroup, get out of this like mindset of like, we're going to go do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this. And then I needed to like get myself back together and then I can go back into real life. It's like that just times 10, and it's probably harder. I don't know. It's really hard to explain.
But when you get there, I'm looking forward to having you come back and be like, aha, this is a thing they talked about in episode 3. I'm ready for it.
I think that like being prepared mentally for a lot of these things help people deal with them. And it's like, we're not going to give you the answers, like I think Adam has said a bunch of times. But when you're in those moments and you can think back to something and be like, oh, okay, this is normal. I don't feel weird for feeling this way. they were talking about maybe this as being a solution. Maybe I could try that. And if it doesn't work for you, maybe that could spawn an idea that does create a situation that does work for you. If that's what this podcast does for you, that is awesome.
Yeah. I think one of the things that sometimes goes, like, maybe the results of coming home and coming off that high is you're depressed. And one of the results of being depressed is that you don't talk to many people. And when you don't talk to people, you don't know that everybody else you're touring with was probably also going through the same thing you are. So it would encourage you to, you know, reach out to this community, whatever you need help with. There's people out there that will help. So just know you're not alone in it. And it's quite normal. And that's not meant to devalue your feelings. It's just meant to make you feel a little more not so weird.
I'm weird.
Damn, we got deep on this one.
I think you have to. I mean, touring is a lifestyle. It's like, as much as that is like a joke statement, like, it's only a joke because it's so real. It's so true. When you get into touring and you become successful with it, you are completely immersed in whatever it is that you're doing. And then when you get out of that and you get home, that is going to affect you. Even the best person, the most mentally sound person, will be affected by this because it is something that is unavoidable. But with the right information and the right resources,
you can
not let it overwhelm you and not let it take over, and it doesn't have to win or be negative, because it's not.
Thank you, Neil. I mean, I'm like stoked. I learned a lot from you just doing this too. We kind of know what each other are going to talk about, but we mostly just vibe off each other as we go. So
yeah, that's a good one. I'm just making it up as I go. I think that's what I do in life too. I'm just kind of making it up as I go.
Yeah, we all are. So in conclusion, touring is fun. I think it does have its trade-offs. And I think a good thing to think about when you're going into it is, where are you at in your life? Because this is going to be different for everybody. Some people have a family at home, another career that they're trying to balance before they can make touring full time. So you just have to kind of set yourself up for it and know what you're getting into and know that it is very demanding. It is, like Neil was saying, it is a full-time thing. It is not a easy thing to do.
But it is worth it. Absolutely.
It is definitely worth it. So with that being said, I look forward to seeing you guys sometime on the road.
I look forward to being able to go back on the road and kind of meeting people that kind of utilize this information as a positive thing in their life, you know, and I'm excited to kind of talk to people at shows, and maybe we can share experiences of stuff that you're learning as you get out on tour. And
don't shit on the bus tour.
The don't shit on the bus tour.
Yeah, we can have like interns come on tour and just like hang out.
They could be on tour for our podcast. We could set it up every night, do a live podcast in their town while teaching people how to be on tour. It'll be like some weird meta life experiment.
Venue tours, show them all the areas, all the different, you know, guitar world and all that stuff. That'd be fun.
We'll have a setup. So like during the show, like I'll just come out and play like a couple songs, and you'll play like Fast Car by Tracy Chapman. And then we're like, hey, we need our guitar set up just to play these songs. And then like, that'll be like one segment of the podcast.
Dude, it'd be so sick though. Like back when I did the photography workshops, I just had one member of each crew come out. It'd be so fun to like just walk like 10 kids around each day, show them each part, have them talk to Johnny and Max and all that. That'd be fun.
It would be so fun. I mean, I've always kind of loved the idea of doing a podcast on the road, like live podcast. And I think that that's something that would be really cool in the future.
Dude, that'd be sick. We can, let's just get our own bus.
Okay. It'll just be one giant turd.
The Patreon has like rewards. Like if you meet this amount each episode, then we can do stuff. And I think I put like one, we'll make merch at $500 an episode or something.
That'd be sick.
But it'd be so funny if it's like $2,000 an episode. We're going on tour. We got a bus. We're doing it.
My wife's like, wait, you can't go on tour. You just got back from tour.
You're on tour now already.
Einstein.
Sorry guys, I gotta go. I have a fly day tomorrow.
Don't worry guys, it's at the inn.
All right. Thank you guys so much. I've been Adam and I've
been Neil this entire time.
Neil's been Neil. We'll catch you next week on Don't Shit on the Bus.